program, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
I really believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Wow. What a show we have tonight. The best way I could describe this as quickly as I can, because this is taking precious airtime, I could have sold tickets for how we put the show together today. But you're going to hear a lot of power and breath from homeless folks and advocates and people out on the streets around Shelter Now, man, and Attend is Affordable Housing. We got a little segment from Right to Dream to Attend City up in Oregon. And then nearly the entire show revolves around The Farm, a homeless village in South Chico. And that's all I got to say, man. And we're going to end the show with Joel Castle, who's going to talk a little bit about that effort. And the absolute ending of the show is beautiful. Mark Johnson, a homeless person that's living out of Safe Space right now, came into the studio with his music, man, and we cut this thing up during our very first Chico Homeless Organizing Committee meeting. But with no further ado, we're getting into the Without a Roof Radio program on People Powered Radio.
I'm Sean, and I'm homeless. I could pass for a regular passerby, you know, a regular, we call them civilians.
I'm on the street again. What is that? I'm on the street. I ain't got a place to stay. It's cold and damp in a hobo's camp. So that's what makes me. That's what hurts me. That's what really hurt me.
For a long time, before I came home, I had 3 jobs. Because it needs to be more reasonable housing.
Hey, man, I'm on the street. I'm really on the street. So I gotta do what I gotta do. Hustle up, muscle up. I wanna just have my own place, have my own thing. Something wrong with that.
It's gonna be okay.
When I was in Houston, Oregon, I chose to leave and I was going back to Montana, and I kind of got stuck in Portland.
The statistics I've heard are 50% of women will be assaulted, they'll have their things stolen, they'll be raped. 50%, that's half of every single female. I mean, I don't know if I'd be one of them, but that's alarming to me. It's absolutely horrifying, but you see it all the time.
I had a job at a place that was closing. I was on the streets, and I had nowhere to go. I didn't know anything of the resources.
When the streets there was experiencing a lot of assaults and rapes with women, is that we immediately opened up certain areas of the camp for women. You know, it didn't matter, you know, if every single one of them would have showed up, we'd have found a place for them. It was a really high priority for us to, you know, to address that.
Welcome to R2D2. Right. Right. When you hear your name, please wait at the light for the green. Use the crosswalk. Thank you. There's no backpacks in the restroom. Shoes and shirts will be worn outside the tent. There's no sexist, racist, homophobic remarks. There's no violence, no threats of violence. Now who's ready to sleep?
For the past 3 decades, the United States has been experiencing, you know, a public health epidemic and a shortage of affordable housing. And most every urban environment in the United States and in many suburban and rural environments today are dealing with people sleeping outdoors. Those people are somebody's mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, and those are ultimately people that do have value and do have a place in the world to be successful. And so we have to be able to prioritize those things.
Right to Dream 2 is a direct action of Right to Survive. We had come up with the concept of doing a protest with the houseless community during the Rose Parade, where we would pitch tents along the Rose Parade and fill them with houseless people. And each year as it gets bigger, the houseless people then ask us, well, where do we go now? One night's great, but then what?
We wanted this to be a rest area where we provide 8 to 12 hours of undisturbed, uninterrupted, peaceful, dry, safe sleep. And that's all this is for people to come get off the sidewalk so they won't be criminalized for exercising their human rights. And it's everybody's human right to fall asleep sooner or later. You can't stop that.
What they were offering here was a rest area, and well, basically when they first opened, they were letting anyone just come in, and this gave you a tent, basically a place to stay, so I didn't have to have pushing a shopping cart around. Gave me a place of stability.
Back then, what you really needed was a tent, a buck, and to be willing to follow the code of conduct. And if you didn't have a tent, they would find one for you, and if you didn't have the dollar, they'd waive that.
So if you're working, you want that proper sleep also. So that's why we're here, to provide a 24-hour rest area. And that's how it came about.
When you go up front, they may not have time now, but before you leave or something, then they can give you directions. They can give you instructions on how to become part of this organization.
Is it people who had found work or was looking for housing needed more stability than just 8 to 12 hours of sleep? So we created a membership program within it where people can stay as long as they're working, looking for housing, going to school. And so that way they can be more in the mental state of mind to accomplish to successfully accomplish these things that they wanted to do.
We both found work, and that a lot of that has to do with being here. You know, we weren't carrying our luggage around everywhere. We weren't waking up in the middle of the night. You know, we were sleeping on the side of the street and in bushes, and you know, you don't sleep really well. You're up all the time, you know, and just being able to keep your things in one area and being able to sleep soundly, you know, and wake up, have energy to just even get to a job and do, you know, be, you know, performing at the level you need to be at.
The really big difference is this community is running the place themselves. So it's community controlled, although there's two groups. There's the Dreamers, the ones who actually are members, and they have agreed to run the place with security, make sure the kitchen is clean, help people to understand the rules and follow the rules here.
We have 25 members, but within that membership, they have to adhere to the code of conduct: no drugs and alcohol, no discrimination, no theft, no fighting, and no continued disruptive behavior.
And then there's overnighters who just, then that can actually be daytime or nighttime. They come here for a period of time to sleep without being interrupted by police harassing them or security guards. And we give people a 12-hour period in which to catch up on their sleep, either day or night, no matter what time they check in.
What it then is community building, and they feel safe and comfortable where they can feel like at home. I mean, because you can't call a sidewalk home.
Without a Roof radio program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Tim Kemper of Stanford Mortgage. Whether it's for a first-time home loan or to refinance for college, remodel, or for the vacation of your life, Tim can help you make your dreams come true. Tim can be reached at 530-571-7723. And Tim's also on Facebook at Tim Kemper Mortgage Advisory. MLO number 971542, a equal housing opportunity lender.
All right, I'm here down at the farms outside of Chico.
off Notre Dame Avenue, and I'm here talking with someone I've talked with several times. Larry's the first person that actually stayed out here on the farm. I saw the Action News little piece, and I wanted to ask some questions around that. The first place I wanted to start was, the next door neighbor was kind of talking about fires, trying to put some fear in people that the whole lumberyard's going to burn down. What is the camp policy on fires, and what would be your response to that?
They got nothing to worry about. I mean, we've been here for this long doing it. Nothing's caught on fire over there. The only damage it had is when a tree fell, so I mean, the fires are all contained, and the only time they're lit is when we are cooking. So we're doing nothing illegal. You know, they're in no harm because all the fires are far enough away that even if an ember did pop off, it wouldn't make it that far.
In summary, the only time you light a fire is here. I'm sitting inside the stables, so this is the only place on the encampment that fires are allowed?
Not just up here. I mean, each campground or each camper out here. I guess I could call them a resident. But each one of them has, like, their own little fire pit. It's either a barrel or dug into the ground and rocks and stuff around it. So, I mean,
all the fires are either in this horse stable or they're down towards the creek. So the fires, there's basically a creek and muddy dampness everywhere. Seems like the only place that would be an issue with that is where all the tents are along the side of Payless. But is there any fires on that side?
No. See, the ones that stay right here beside the stalls and stuff, they just come here and use a pit.
By my definition, I was saying I thought you guys were doing a great job with what you've been given as far as, removing trash and stuff like that. I mean, how do you get stuff out of here, man? What's your process? You have people assigned to help keep the place clean? Or
they keep their own little areas clean, but it seems like most of the trash gets hauled off by me or me or Krista. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes my buddy Jack, but mainly me.
It's like you guys are hunkering down. I think you were the one that paid for the porta potty and they took it out of here. Why don't you explain the impact on the people that are living here?
It puts us under a little bit of stress sometimes. Because, we got to go all the way up the street now to either Burger King or the market. And they're going to get tired of seeing us before too long. The owner don't want us defecating all over his property. I mean, he shouldn't have took the porta potty away. So, sorry, Ted.
What's your plans? You're going to stay until they come, they roll in here with a bunch of cops and kick you out? Or, I mean, what, have you guys thought through it? Because you did get an eviction notice yesterday, right? And how long was the eviction notice for?
He got the eviction notice yesterday, and he's got 5 days, I guess, to answer it, and then 10 days before it goes to court. So it could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be 2 months. But I'm not going to stay until the cops come in. I mean, because I heard they're coming in force and they're going to forcefully remove us, but there's no reason for all that. We're all civil. They could bark threats, but We're gonna stay until they make us leave, for sure.
Have you actually been threatened by the police, or is this just kind of like the typical hearsay? People thinking about stuff.
No, we haven't. Actually, we haven't had really any police contact. Period. Except for when they come out here looking for stuff, like when they lost a bag. But no, they mind their business. We mind ours. We police inside here. They police out there.
We have like 50 people here, you think?
Well, when they had the survey thing on the homeless people, I counted 45. But we've had a couple, 2-3 more come in since then. But we've had a couple leave, too. So I don't know. I'm going to go around tonight and get another head count, just for my own comfort.
Have you had to ask anyone to leave?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. a few of them, but one left. He still comes back every now and again. But the other ones, it's like, it don't matter what I say. Farm manager or not, they stay because, they were invited here. And I can't really, I can't use any kind of force. So I can't make them leave.
What's your plans after this, Larry? What do you think you'll be doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Haven't thought that far ahead yet. I just live it day by day.
Leon, did I get that? Neil, how long you been out here, Neil?
It was a little over 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have some ideas. I have friends that might be able to assist in this matter, mm-hmm. to see the move forward and progress. This is not a bad thing. This is what we need. I mean, something like this is what a person needs. You can't give them something like money or material. You have to give them a place to raise their head and rest it every single day, to where they don't have to worry about the public opinion or the harassment from the paid servants. There are solutions. It's just, you know, we have to put our heads together and come to some agreement, you know. And it's going to take some footwork, but until that happens, we're just going to push through it.
Thanks, Neil. How long have you been here on the farm?
This is my first day.
Day on the farm. What's your first impressions, Neil?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, it's a sign of hope.
Blessings to you, Neil, man. Neil was kind of tearing up, man. You know, it's rough out here. You've been 13 years here in Butte County. You travel around a little bit?
Here in Butte County.
Yeah.
For any of y'all that are listening, check it out. Ain't nobody out here better than anybody. Ain't nobody out here different than anybody. We're human. Nobody owns it out here. It belongs to everybody. Homelessness is just a label. If you can't open your eyes to that, then you need to open your eyes to reality. That's where I stand, and that's where I'm going to stand. You can't treat someone different because they have less than you. Out of all reality, we're all one. That's all I have to say.
I tell you, coming from a guy that's lived in a tent and a park, it is home, man. If that's all you got is a tent and a park, that's home, right?
Sure is.
It's kind of a blessing. I was talking with Neil. He used to be involved with Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee and the Homeward Street Journal. How about some words around that, Neil, and what a great program both of those things are, the paper and the Homeless Organizing Committee?
Well, it's a true blessing because the shock office helps a lot of people. I mean, not only vendors, the Homeward Street Journal, which allows people that don't have it into them to panhandle to make a living without having, you know, to ask anybody for it. And not only that, it also had a hand deep in with the creation of Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon, and also the tent city in Sacramento. And I'm praying that we can get them to back us in this here, because it's what's needed.
You were an active member of the shock meetings that they would hold at the Delaney Center?
No, I was just a vendor.
So you were a street vendor for the Homeward Street Journal?
And two petitions, and the ban on sleeping and stop the illegal camping.
So you got involved with shock on those two petitions?
Yes.
What was your involvement? Did you kind of help protest? You help write the petitions? What did you do for them?
I pushed the petitions in the Homeward Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for that, you know, to take place here. I've been thinking seriously about starting another petition, and that's to stop the indecency on humanity. Mm-hmm. To stop the indecency on humanity. Everybody has a right to be here.
What would you say about having the Homeward Street Journal up here?
I would think it'd be beneficial, not only for the community, but also for the people that are down and out.
For people that might not know, maybe give us a little description of what the Homeward Street Journal is all about.
The Homeward Street Journal is a paper that they edit. It talks about world news and crisis and homelessness and places you can go for aid. And it also helps a person that's down and out, you know, be able to move forward in life, you know, with their head held high instead of looking to the ground.
All right, I'm here. What was your name, ma'am?
My name's Annette.
How long have you been out here on the farm? What would you like people to know about the experience here?
Well, I've been here in Chico about 3 months. People needing to do something. I just hope that the right people are convinced to do something about this homelessness immediately.
Mm-hmm. Were you homeless before you came to Chico? Or houseless? I hate that term, homeless.
I'm not homeless.
I hate it. I don't like it. Yeah, houseless?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Yes, houseless.
So what brought you to Butte County?
My next city, just to live and, mm-hmm. and enjoy life.
Good for you. If you had any words of wisdom for folks to kind of let them know how your experience has been and how blessed it is to have some place that is warm and welcoming, what would you say?
I said, I thank God for this refuge, and I live peace and harmony here, and hope we all get along.
It's my real pleasure. You know, I was just in the studio. We're having our very first Chico Homeless Organizing Committee meeting. We had Karen, who was a volunteer at Youth for Justice at the Peace and Justice Center, and we were talking about safe space. We literally were talking about safe space and the beauty that goes on there. And then Mark comes in. I met Mark, and he's got some beautiful professional music. And I want to know a little bit about you, Mark Johnson, before I air your song right after this little interview. So tell us a little bit about Mark Johnson here on People Power Radio.
Hi, my name is Mark Johnson. I'm from San Francisco. I came up here a couple years ago. I'm trying to save some money to get a place to rent up here and possibly become a permanent resident in Chico. And these are a few of the songs I recorded that I hope you'll enjoy.
How you liking Safe Space, man? How important is that for you, where you're at in your life, Mark?
Safe Space is very, very important. I find it as a resource that I've been using since the first day I've been there, every day that Safe Space has been available to homeless people. I've been using it to save money in order to retain an apartment or a permanent residence.
Awesome, Mark Johnson. How long you been in Chico, man?
About 2 years now.
What brought you here? The music scene or something else, man?
Kind of the music scene and kind of job opportunity. I was working in San Francisco, and I just kind of got tired of the heavy traffic and some of the other elements of the bigger city, and I came to Chico and liked it and got a job here through one of the temp agencies, and I've been here ever since.
Give us a little ditty on what this song's about, man. We're going to play. Is there anything backstory we need to know on this song?
This is just a what us musicians, I guess, would call a cover song by a guy named Richard Marx, and it just happens to be one of the ones I picked off of the last demo I made at the music store.
Mark, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming to our very first Chico Homeless Organizing Committee meeting and sharing your music, man.
Thank you much for having me.
Notions about day after day, and I slowly go insane. And I hear your voice on the line, but it doesn't stop the pain. Oh, can't you see it, baby? You've got me going crazy. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. I took for granted all the times that I thought would last, but somehow I hear the laughter and I taste the tears, but I can't get near you now. If I see you next or never, how can we say forever? Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. And whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. I don't know how we can survive this romance, but in the end, if I'm with you, I'll take the chance. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you.
All right, man. Mark Johnson here on People Powered Radio. Maybe we'll have you on again next week, Mark, or some other week.
That'd be great. I'd like to get more exposure someday. The dream is the record deal.
Boom. Gamble Mash for the February 8th. Lottery Reef Radio program. It's my distinct pleasure to have Shahara Hyatt, the project director for California Homeless Youth Project, based out of Sacramento. And Shahara's going to tell us about foster youth, give us some insights on foster youth and homelessness.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for having me. One thing that people don't always realize is there's a lot of overlap between young people who are in the foster care or child welfare system and young people who are experiencing homelessness. You know, that we know a lot of young people may have been missed by the child welfare system, but still experience a lot of, you know, abuse, neglect, or poverty. And then, you know, may not have been in foster care at their 18th birthday, and then don't have access to kind of like extended foster care or some of the housing or scholarship benefits that are available for young people who are in that system in their 18th birthday. And so I guess I want to say that, you know, we definitely need more investment and strengthening the rights of foster youth, that there's still a lot of people that are in that system who are not served very well. But we also want to make sure that any of the progress that we're making on that community is also extended to young people who may have been missed by that system, but have a lot of the same experiences with trauma, abuse, etc.
Missed by that system. They remained unaccompanied. They didn't get a foster, you know, a foster agency involved. Or could you expand on that a little?
Sure, yeah. Well, definitely there aren't enough, you know, foster families for even the young people who are identified by the child welfare system who are unfortunately removed from their families. I know that in California, one of the budget wins that happened last year, the governor allocated some funding to be able to house families whose children are in the child welfare system simply because the family is homeless. And so if a child was removed from their home and the whole family is homeless, they can't return the young person to their biological parents or their guardians without that. And so there's some efforts that are being implemented in our state to try to provide that housing support for families that really shouldn't have their young person in foster care, but it's because they don't have the material resources to be able to meet the child's needs. And so, you know, what can we do as a state to be able to meet those resources?
Yeah, because I hear, you know, I've heard it at least a handful of times, you know, in different phrase differently, but a lot of the foster youth that have exited the program are now, you know, adults. Mm-hmm. They use the term, it felt like being homeless when I was in the foster care system. I mean, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I was hanging out with some young folks in Sacramento who are living outside, and all four of them had been in the foster care system at some point, and I think that they definitely identified with that sentiment. Sometimes when you ask a young person, you know, how long have you been experiencing homelessness, you know, they include the time that they were spent in foster care because it did feel the same way, and that they had, you know, no sort of safe, stable place to live or didn't feel like they got the care that they needed in the child welfare system. And then in terms of young people aging out of foster care, that the research says somewhere between 20 and 35% of young people in foster care experience homelessness within the first couple years of aging out of that system. So, yeah, we aren't doing enough to prepare young people in foster care to, you know, sort of achieve self-sufficiency and be able to pay rent, but also we're not doing a lot as a state to make sure that, you know, rent is affordable. So there are a lot of, I think, really compounding factors that make it difficult for young people who are system involved, and I think that there should be more focus on meeting the material needs of families who are struggling, because even family conflict is so exacerbated by poverty. You know, I think that we look sometimes at families and really vilify, you know, families where there's, you know, abuse or neglect happening, but a lot of times neglect is just code for poverty, and abuse is compounded by, you know, living in overcrowded substandard situations or not being able to have a meal or a room to cool off in, you know, when you get in a fight with your parents, which is totally normal. Yeah, we need to, I think, do a better job of supporting families to prevent that entrance into foster care to begin with.
Thanks a lot for that, Shahara Hyatt. And until the next time, it's just wonderful to have you lead these segments for us, because I don't think people can possibly know enough about youth homelessness.
I feel that. Yeah. Thank you so much, Bill.